Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Newsmakers Podcast. This is Kyle Gargaro, Editorial Director of the ACHR News. Today, we're talking about what makes a successful service department. In order to do that, we're going to welcome in Jennifer Shushanian, who is the trainer and senior service coach at Business Development Resources. Thanks for joining us today, Jennifer.
My pleasure, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I guess just we'll start in the broadest context possible, right? What makes a successful service department?
So there's a lot of variables associated with that, certainly mix of work and things like that. But there are some core pieces that I look at with service departments. You know, over the years, our industry's been going through a lot of changes, hasn't it? We've got software. I mean, when I first started in service management as a service manager, things would be considered very archaic to what we have today, all the way from our communication via phone and radios and how we dispatched. And today we have a lot of things that can really enhance our service departments from an efficiency standpoint. So we've had a lot of changes in the equipment, the accessories, all of that, but there are core pieces that haven't changed. So some of the things that we look at, residential and light commercial, number one, dealers need to be flat rate. That's a really core component, not only being a flat, using flat rate for their pricing, but also managing it properly. Not necessarily in this order, but number two, they need to have a profitable and well-managed membership program. Their maintenance agreement programs need to be set up to, that they're managed well, that they're creating lifetime clients, and they're set up to be profitable. We have a theory at BDR, and that is that you are in business to make a profit every day. Sounds like a good, legitimate business practice, doesn't it?
Sure. Yeah. So
we don't subscribe to the theory that membership should be a loss leader. You can have both. So we're profitable and well-managed maintenance agreements. We need to make sure that we have a good truck stock program. Not easy today, but that's important part to be able to fix as many of the, take care of customers while we're there, first time call completion as much as possible. But having a good truck stock program is important. We've got to also have good reporting. So we have to be able to measure the performance of the service department, not just by our financial statement after the month has been gone. So we have a reporting that we've put together called the 8-for-10 reporting, and it's a billing and efficiency reporting, and so much more. So it manages, our memberships, how we're doing with that, our average ticket, revenue per hour, revenue per truck, billing efficiencies, and a lot of variables there. So that's a key component as well.
Okay.
We also need to have an excellent accessory program. There's a lot of things out there right now that can enhance homeowners and businesses as well. So having a good accessory program in place will help supplement the profitability and also educate the consumer on all the good stuff we have. And then finally, not last, but is we have to have an efficient and effective dispatching, which leads into having a very strong dispatcher. So despite all the changes of our industry, those are the core components that I look at, what we look at, those haven't changed. The method to get there certainly has, but the core principles of what, assuming we have, good qualified technicians as well.
Sure. Okay. It's a lot there. So I'll kind of maybe divide it up a little bit. We'll dive into them. I guess start with the flat rate pricing. Explain that just in case people aren't quite sure what it is and why is it important to do flat rate pricing?
So in the broadest of terms, flat rate pricing is menu-based pricing. Like when you go to the dentist they don't break down per hour how much the filling is and how much the labor is and all the costs associated. They give you a flat price for that. When you go to a restaurant, it's the same type of thing. You know, you look at a menu, you choose which one, and that's the price. They don't break that down. So what flat rate pricing is a method where it's your cost, all cost to perform the work. It's basically an estimate to perform that work or a bid. Just like as if we went out to do a new installation, we wouldn't break down, here's your permit fee, here's the flue pipe, here's the equipment, here's the line set, here's the labor. We give them what? We give them a bid, right? We give them a proposal. So essentially it's the pricing for their services. There's a fee to go out and charge for that, for your diagnostic and service call. Then you quote them a price for the repairs.
Is the thought process, we don't want to confuse the homeowner, or if you have all those things, they start nitpicking things, or what's the thought process behind that?
Excellent question. So people equate what they make to what we charge. Mm-hmm. So let's say someone makes $30 an hour. Even if at our time and material rate, we were at 90, what's the difference there? They think the balance of that is profit. So they don't have a comprehension of all the costs associated to running a profitable business. So it actually, you actually used properly will have less complaints about pricing when you bundle that together. It's inclusive of our warranty and all costs to perform the work. So because you can't adequately charge what you need to charge to be profitable in the service department in most cases on a time and material basis.
Gotcha.
Residentially, right? That's what people think. Oh, right. I made X amount, the company's this, and it's all profit. Right. So, yeah.
And then on the maintenance agreements. So you're saying you want to, obviously that's, you know, you're checking on the air conditioner in the spring up here in Michigan and the furnace in the fall. You want those to be profitable every time. There's a school of thought saying, well, you're in the customer's home, you'll find something, you know, wrong, or if something does break, they'll call you. But you're saying every time you're in the home, you should be pulling a profit.
Right, exactly. We want those memberships. One of the things that I appeal to dealers with is if we price our memberships low or below cost, aren't we just conditioning them that everything we do after that should be cheap or below cost? So, you know, we want to be able to show the value of the maintenance that we're performing. We're providing a very valuable service, so we should charge appropriately for it. I'm still going to look for those other opportunities and train our technicians to look for those opportunities, but not going in that, putting a pressure on the technician, like, don't come away without having some other charge, otherwise we're going to lose money. That's sometimes how that can be perceived. We don't want to create that type of culture. So in business every day to make a profit and set those up to be profitable.
And they also talked about the dispatcher there. Very important role. What are the traits contractors should be looking for in dispatcher? What should the skill set be?
So there's a lot of traits associated with that dispatcher. This is not somebody we're hiring just to pick up the phone, schedule an appointment, and send a technician there. If it was just as simple as that, it wouldn't be as hard to find a good quality dispatcher. So I've got several traits that I'm looking for in that dispatcher. One, they definitely need to be motivated to work with people. So they need strong internal customer service skills. So their number one customer is the technician, right? That's who they're taking care of. So we need somebody that has really good internal customer skills and external customer skills as well. They also need to be a type of person that is a supportive to the technicians. I always say the sole reason overhead exists, dispatchers are an overhead, technicians are revenue producers. The sole reason overhead exists is to make those revenue producers more effective and efficient. Yep. Granted, they need to do their part as well, but that's what we're trying to do. So we really want to, they need to have that supportive attitude of the technicians. They need to be independent and assertive, but not so much so that it's to the extreme to where they're so independent that they don't ask for help, or they're so assertive that they become overly frank. So there's a balance there.
It could be a problem, right?
Yeah. You don't want to have somebody so assertive that they're, you know, creating a dissension with your internal and external customers.
Sure.
For sure. They also need to be a more of an extrovert and outgoing, but not so much of an extrovert that it causes them not to get their daily tasks done. Right, you know,
right. Each trait cuts both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And but that personality, that outgoing personality, will help them build those relationships with their internal and external customers. So another thing I look at is they need to be stable and pretty poised. So and more relaxed, because service is stressful. Anytime you walk into a service department, you know, I say it's creating order amongst chaos. There's a lot of moving parts. It's transactionally intense. So we need someone that can not just outwardly stay calm in the face of pressure, but also someone that doesn't internalize that stress, because they will implode. So they got to be a good stress manager. They need to be able to have a sense of urgency, be an excellent communicator, but they also need to be a decisive and quick decision maker. So while still maintaining the dispatch processes. So they need to be able to look at a situation, take care of it, make a decision, move on, and without it completely upsetting the whole dispatch process. So that takes someone that's flexible, not someone that's black and white, right? Because dispatchers often have to operate in the gray. They've got to use decisions and do what's best for the company and the customer as well, and take care of the technicians. So, and then I think finally, you know, just really understanding what the true nature of being able to multitask. That isn't throwing a bunch of plates in the air and trying to keep them up in the air. That's really what that means, is adjusting your task to accommodate everything that needs to be done during the day and not missing something.
Well, Jennifer, it seems like you're describing a little bit of a unicorn. I guess the next question would say, where do you find these people? Is it something where you have to hire them from another HVC contract, or is somebody, I know with tech, sometimes you can, you know, you get someone with soft skills and teach them the mechanical stuff, but explain it for dispatchers, please.
So for dispatchers, you know, you're looking for somebody, since they need to understand geography, for example. Some areas that we could look at is any type of industry, service industry, or like where they need to dispatch and pay attention to location, right? So it could be something like pest control. It could be other trades, you know. So I know we're talking, you know, plumbing, electrical, any other kind of trade. Project managers can do well with that as well. Somebody that's used to managing large projects, maybe dealing with contractors and things like that. I've seen 911 dispatchers. They're really good at quick decision making. Sometimes they're used to following certain rules so heavily that they need a coaching, however, on geography and a little more gentle nature of approach. Sometimes you can't say, "No, ma'am, you need to turn off your air conditioner right now. Listen to me," right? It's got to be, they just have to sometimes smooth out the customer service side of it. Sand, gravel, concrete, you know, people that dispatch that, or trucking, those are all different areas. I'm also going to look for anything that's transferable. So if they've got good customer service skills, right, you can pull that in. And then additionally, one person that I've been working with recently used to dispatch nurses to various hospitals for support. So they had to dispatch nurses with the right skill set and the tools to the right hospital to complete what was needed. So that was a transferable skill. So I'm going to look for someone that can think tactically, be organized, have a positive attitude, and understands geography, along with all the other, as you call it, unicorn traits that we're looking for. They are out there. It took a client that I work with personally in Tennessee 9 months to find a dispatcher. Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah, I should say so. Yeah.
So, but better to get the right person, because it takes 1 to 2 years to fully season and train a dispatcher, depending on the level of experience.
Okay.
Even if you hire them from another company, they still have to be seasoned to your company, your ways, your technicians, and your dispatching processes.
Right.
So
how do you're talking about the hospital dispatch there, and I'm trying to equate it with the HVC here. How do you get the right tech to the right job?
So there's different thought processes about right tech to right job. I'm going to speak it to it in a general sense. Because there's different concepts out there about what that means. So when I look at getting the right technician to the right job, then we've got to train the dispatchers. First of all, they need to know the skill set of all the technicians. So I like owners and managers to create a technician skill set matrix. What can they do? What are they okay at? What are they really good at? What do they specialize in? Do they have any physical limitations? Like, can they get in attics, crawl spaces? What type of equipment do they work on, and what type of things not to send them on? So first of all, to get the right tech to the right job, we need to know their skill set. Second to that is we need a good intake process when we're scheduling a service appointment. So I coach to what's called a call flow. It's like a script essentially, but I customize that for each company based on the type of work they do, whether it's residential, commercial, plumbing, electrical, HVAC, whatever that might be, creating, you know, so HVAC as an example, I need to know the age, right? I need to know the equipment type, brand if possible, but that's not always, but I want to try to find, is it gas, oil, electric? Is it a boiler? Is it a mini split? Is it all of that information? And then good information about the nature of the problem. So I need to know, do they need maintenance or are they needing a repair? So you go through that. And then when you combine those items together, I'm going to match the skill set to the call type, also keeping geography in mind so I can help them be more efficient.
Okay.
There's more. But that's the Reader's Digest version, Kyle.
No, it's a lot of information. I didn't realize how difficult it is for contractors to make sure this is a well-run, profitable portion of their business, because it can really make or break their business, can it?
Absolutely. You know, we look at, we want to set our service departments up to SCORE. And SCORE means service covers the overhead regularly for the entire company with the gross profit dollars from their service department. So it has the highest margin. It should have the highest margin of any department. And it is also the most transactionally intense. But we should be able to set that up to be able to really protect the entire company in multiple ways.
Right. Well, great information, Jennifer. Really appreciate you taking the time. Why don't you tell us a little bit more, you know, your coach at Business Development Resources. Tell us a little more about the organization. If people are interested in learning more, where should they go?
So Business Development Resources, BDR, we're a coaching and training company. We provide coaching services and training services all across the United States for dealers and distribution. And so if someone wanted, they can come to our training classes. Go to our website. That would be the first thing I would recommend, at www.bdrco.com. And it outlines all the different, we have business planning, which we always encourage dealers to do. We can help them build their business plan. They don't have to be on a coaching program with us to build their business plan. They can go to any of our university classes. We call it BDRU to get coaching in all different areas. We have coaching programs from service coaching to company coaching to financial coaching to labor coaching. We have all types of programs where you would have a coach or coaches work directly with the dealer. We also have podcasts as well on our website that they can learn more about us and events each year. So we help dealers grow their business. But not just grow them in revenue, but grow them profitably and help them put the structure in place to sustain that growth as well.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how big your revenue is if your profitability isn't
exactly
where it needs to be, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again for the time. Really appreciate all the information, Jennifer.
My pleasure.